We surely appreciate God. We appreciate you guys being here tonight to hear the word of God. And we always appreciate those that always ready to go and making a sacrifice. Being at church is a sacrifice. I tell you, I don't have my kids with me, but I know what I had to do to get those guys ready, and it's always a sacrifice. And you know, you have to fight against the devil. This body don't want to go in, you have to drag it to church. So, but God will reward you for your faithfulness. And for those that are not here for whatever the reason, we ask God also to bless them just as well. Thank you, musicians. So, let us continue our subject. Last week I was here, and of course I was here, and we preached about, you know, being growing in wisdom, right? Growing up, developing to perfection, to maturity. Last week I gave you all the Bible, at least not all of it, but the scripture that talks about growing to maturity and why we need to grow to maturity, right? So tonight I want to show you what Brother Brandon says about perfection. Perfection. Be perfect as God is perfect. Amen. Can we do that? Well, we're going to see that we are, in a way. But we still got to grow. Amen? Amen. So let us read it from Timothy, the 2 Timothy 3. This is verse 16. This is how I started last week. It says, all scriptures is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. You know, if sometimes we need to get a little, you know, handshake in the back. You know, laying suddenly a hands on a brother. You know, behave, you know. Reproof for correction, right? And for instruction in righteousness. That means teaching. And that's what we had tonight, to teach you. So you can grow in righteousness. Right. Amen? So you can mature, so you can develop. That's why we come to church. At least that's one of the reasons, because we want to be instructed. Right. I want to grow. Right. You know, and I'm sure you want to grow. Amen. To the potential that God already foreseen before the foundation of the world. To His potential, not ours. But I want to grow to whatever He has for me. I want to measure up to that tonight. So training is what we come to learn, how to live according to God's will and God's word. Not only in church, but when we are out there working at school. So behaving honorably, you know, doing the right things, being morally, you know, ethical right, you know. So those things, you know, is what we need to show the world, who we are, what we are. But we need to learn, we need to grow into those things. A baby don't grow knowing anything. You know, a baby when he grows, it's just like a brand spanking unit, empty. You know, like a computer, and then you have to put all the hardware and software and download all that stuff before it works. You know, when I look at my children when they were born, you know, wow, there's nothing in there. But it behooved me to fill that up, right? Instruct them the way they should go. That was my thing. Amen. Now, that's why we are here. Now, why? 17. That the man of God may be what? Perfect. So we want to be spiritually mature, not only develop only in the physical sense, but also in the spiritual sense. Thoroughly furnished here unto all good work. So everything that you have need, you know, to do the work that God has called you to do, God will equip it with that. God will furnish that to you. So you don't have to worry about it. God called you, God will teach you, God will prepare you, and God give you the gift, whatever purpose, to use you for good works. Amen? So God is good. That's the only work that is good work. That the man of God may be completed, lacking nothing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See? You complete it. We don't have to cry out to God. God, but you didn't give me this. I'm not a preacher, or I'm not a teacher, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. But, you know, one thing that you do, maybe you clean the church. That's a gift. It's a gift of help. Somebody got to do it, right? We don't complain if nobody else tells us anything or give us a good, oh, nice, good job. No, you know. Because that's not what we're doing it for. We're doing it because God called us for that purpose. He equipped us with that gift, and we want to return that to Him, not to anybody else. And yeah, of course, and in the way of doing this thing, everybody gets blessed. And God is pleased with that attitude. Complete proficient. See? Efficient. Also, we can say a person that is efficient. A person that is has a skillful, has experience. You know, when you go to work, they want a resume. They want to know what you have done. Do you have an experience? Are you proficient in this kind of a work? Are you equipped to do this kind of a job? Well, church is the same thing. I don't know why sometimes we put church that is less than work. Because sometimes work become more important than church. But it's the same thing. Even probably more important, I would say. Outfit it. I mean, you're wearing the right equipment. You have the right tools.
Yes, sir.
You know, some of you guys, I like to go camping. I saw you with this big pack, and in fact, the only thing you don't take is the kitchen, but everything else is there. Your bed, toilets, I mean, showers. You get equipped. And here God is going to equip you in such a way that you will not lack anything to do what God has called you to do. Thoroughly equipped for every good one. Again, good work. Everything God's done for you and for me is so He can use you. And we're going to see not only for us all, the good work of the body of the church. Then efficient, we read also efficient, that we henceforward, this is why, that we henceforward be now more children, you know, spiritually mature.
Right.
You know? Okay, you just received God, you got the Holy Ghost, I can understand you being a baby. But you know, after 20, 30, 40, 50 years,
right,
if you don't grow, there's something wrong. You know, I mean, who want to be changing a baby at 40 years old? And some people come and you have to spend, you know, spoon fed them.
Right.
After years and years, you're still helping. Right. Why? You know, the reason of growing is that you go from dependency to independence.
Right.
You know, your mama help you, mom, everybody, but once you start reaching the maturity and you start learning, the thing is to be independent. Some of you guys, you know, like me at 18 years old, I was ready to leave the house. I thought I knew it all. I was ready. I was independent. I don't need nobody to tell me what to do anymore. So I decided, you know, I need to go. Well, mistake number one. And then my dad says, trying to teach me what's going to happen and what he went through. I said, Dad, I said, you know, I understand what you're trying to do. But you live your life and you have your experience. I want to have mine. Oh, my second mistake. Because I went through the same thing everybody goes through and he had to do. That was my second mistake. Telling him I want to have my own experience. Well, I did. And they were bad and he didn't know what to do with them. He had no experience. I wasn't wise. And he had no knowledge like my father did. You learn that through life, through this journey. Experiencing. You know, making the right choices, knowing the right things, the truth of God. And then God gave you a revelation, and then you can make the right choices based on His word. But I was out there without God, without Christ, lost, and you think any choice I made was good? It came out good? No. For a little season, it looks good. At the end, it was terrible, anyway. He says, thus, do we have to be as children, no more children spiritually immature, thus, and to through and fro, and that's what happened. People go from church to church. You imagine why they do that.
Right.
You know, if you don't be still, it's hard to dress you.
True.
And I don't care what church you go. This is not about going to church. Choose a church. Yep. Somebody that you have confidence in and let them dress you.
Right.
That's what you're here so we can fit the dress. the wedding dress. Amen. Amen. Don't worry, I have you standing, but you're going to be sitting for a while. So enjoy your standing. It says, doctrine by the sleight of men and cunningness or craftiness, whereby the lie and wait to deceive. See, these are people that they're just kingdom building, like I call, even in this message, for personal gain and profit. So choose a church that you grow. I know I have grown. I'm 77, but I have grown. I mean, and hasn't stopped yet. Because the day that you put a period on it, that's when you stop growing. Even Paul, that he could say that he knew everything. I mean, called from God. God spoke to him, ear to lip. You know, he a prophet of that age. And he says, I'm not yet, you know, had acquired or there. I'm not already what I want to be. See, and he could have said, yes, I am. I don't look like what I appear. You know, he appears to be, you know, a guy that had it all and was all grown. But he said, no, he said, I'm still moving forward, leaving behind all those things. You know, I'm moving forward, always do. Yeah. So, Brother Brown says, and I read you that last week, that perfection ends when you rapture or when you die. So I'm still here. There's some things that I still need to grow to. We're in different levels, but that's where we are. It says, but speaking the truth in love. See, not only my word, but expressing it. You know, the sermon you hear, don't tell me how good it is, just leave it. The same thing with me. You know, it's good to preach a good sermon, but let me see. When you are there, expressing his truth, may grow up into him. See, that's why we are growing into him, into Christ. In all things, which is the head, even Christ, we're following his example. He's our model. Amen. Let us pray, Father. We thank you once more, Father, for this opportunity that we have to come to the house of the Lord, Father. We don't take it for granted. Father, whatever you have for me, I came to, I want it. And I know we are here because we love you, Father, and we want to hear from you. Father, we still, Father, in training, Father, we're still your children, Father, and we still gotta be trained, by the Holy Ghost. The same Spirit that is in this pulpit is in your people, Father, and he's the one that teaches us tonight, Father. You're the one that revealed to us the truth so we can then make the choice to do all that you want us to do, Father. We love you and we thank you. We have prayed for our pastor and our sister Jennifer, Father. Be with them, bring them home safe and sound, Father. We thank you for those that are here, but those that are sick or something, traveling, whatever, Father, we ask you to your protection over them as well, Father. We love you and we thank you and we ask you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So tonight what I want to do is see, go into the message. Reach you, but let's going to read about, you know, whatever, 10 or 12, you know. I'm not the best reader. I'm not the sharper tool in the shed. I'm not, you know, so just follow the screen. I do my best and you do the rest, okay? You do the rest, but we're going to read now from Law and Grace. It's interesting, you know, that Law and Grace, because one of the things we read that Paul says or Peter says is we need to grow, you know, by grace. We need to grow in grace, see? Not only in grace, but in love, in faith. And I told you last week that's the Holy Spirit, you know, characteristic. That's the gift of the Holy Ghost. So Jesus was, his character was the gift of the Holy Spirit, that he was love, patient, you know, and all these things. So you and I had to grow the same way. And as we grow, we start obtaining these things. And you know, then you're growing. Amen. So I hope you see it. It's not whether you are good enough to be a Christian or not. It is whether he was good enough. If God accepts him and his blood makes an atonement, God don't see you. He sees the Lamb of mine. Then the little mule could stick his tail up on the air, and that's the doubters, the unbelievers, he says, and short and jump and run around over the field, have a good time. He's going to leave. But one perfect had to die for the imperfect. So at one point we were all imperfect.
Right.
Why? Because we were not being at the image of God had in our before the foundation of the world. Now that was me, William Branham. No good, no fit to live, worthy to go to hell. I mean, if you are not worthy to die, and know that you deserve but death, then you cannot be saved. You know, just like a person that is maybe alcoholic or drugs addicted to, you cannot help him until he, you know, says, I need help. Until he understands that he needs help, that he isn't addicted to whatever. So the same thing. You know, we cannot help anybody. God cannot help you unless you throw your hands up and say, I'm lost. I need you, Lord. No good at all. Not one sound part about me. That's right. But one day I accepted. Hallelujah. When God looked down on Christ and Christ took my place, then God don't see me anymore.
Amen.
He sees the perfect one. So stop beating yourself up for the mistake that you make and all the things you do. Just repent. And God is faithful to forgive you and cleanse you and move forward. Because he's not looking at you. Amen. He's looking at the sacrifice. Like in the Old Testament. Amen. He don't see you at all. Oh, you hiding all over the place thinking that God is behind you with a big stick to wait for you to make something wrong to. No, no. No. God already predestinated you. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's going to happen. You need to know what's going to happen. You are perfect in Christ Jesus. However, later on we're going to find out that if that's the truth, then it has to show. Because you cannot tell me you are perfect and then like doing the things that are not pleasing to God. Amen? So, therefore Jesus didn't make a mistake when he said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Okay? And how could a human being be perfect? He says, he could be perfect by his perfect faith, resting in him, saying, he paid the price for me.
Amen.
Amen. So we stand perfect in Christ Jesus tonight.
Yes.
See, we don't have to be condemned by the devil. Well, you did that the other day again. Here you go. Well, because he make you do it, then he point the finger at you and he called the police to take you. He's the one guilty anyway. So we just claim the blood of Jesus. Amen. We apply the blood of Jesus. Amen. And we don't do it just, you know, in a way that, okay, just to like a default. You know, people use the, if you sin, you know, confess it to God and he will clean you. Well, some people say that's the default. The best thing is not to do it to begin with. But if it's a default, why God put it in there? Because he knew what was going to happen. We are going to need it that. Why? Because in our flesh we are not perfect. But the real me is perfect. And some way in this journey, something inside me, the real me is going to get shot. You know? And I'm going to be out of here when that time happens. It says, and cleansed by the Holy Spirit, then we are all in perfection. Amen? Not in perfection, imperfected, but in perfection. Amen? The blood brand says over here, position of a believer in Christ. Now, the subject is perfection, maturity. Now, how can a moral man ever become perfected? You know, I look at myself, I say, how can this piece of flesh can be perfected. This will never be perfected. And yet God said in his word that he chose us to be holy and perfected before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
See? How are you going to do that? And Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. Is that right? So, we have a perfect word. We have a perfect God. We have a perfect word. So, everything, you know, he called us, we were perfect in him before the foundation of the world, and we're still perfect according to God's word. So, because we have a perfect sacrifice,
yes.
Yes.
See? And we stand on that sacrifice.
Yes,
see? So that's why Brother Doug sometimes says, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, claim anything, you know, but I'm perfect. And you have to do that, you have to say the same thing. It should be your profession. Amen? Because if you don't perceive something, you never will be that thing. If you don't see the vision, you cannot move forward to that vision. See? And the vision is that we are perfect. And when he comes, we are continue to eternity, forever with him. Because the sacrifice, in Hebrews chapter 5, he says, for where there is tongue, they shall cease. Where is prophecy, it shall fail. Where there is other things, will fail. But when that which is perfect is come. Now, some people, you know, told me before, you know, when I was just coming up in the message, that was the word. Yeah, the word is perfect. God is perfect. So now we have the word. But this is what he's saying here. It says, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. See that? Perfect. What is perfect? Love. I mean, of course, the word is God and God is perfect. No doubt about that. But love is perfection. Because he loved us. Even when we were sinners. He loved us. You know, when no one would have loved us. He loved us. Why? He loved. Why? It is love. God, let us lay aside all these things, little dead works and ordinance, and go into perfection. So what we want to be like Christ. Our example. And that was the heart of God. So when you don't find yourself loving someone else, even your enemy. What about your brother? That is easier because he's your brother sometimes. You know, the way God loves. Right. See, then you are growing in maturity. Amen. Forgiveness is the greatest bargain you can have.
Yes.
God forgave you, right? He shouldn't, but he did. That's love because he loved you.
Right.
You know? And we need to forgive, you know? Because we love somebody. And not because we want to do it out of you know, respect, or because they told us to do it, or because the Bible said to do it. I mean, you got God in you. The Holy Spirit is in you.
Right.
And he will correct you.
Right.
See? And if you love your brother, you make things right. I always told you, you got to make things right. Because love is one of the characteristics when people grow. We are growing to his image, that is Christ. Christ is love. Let us lay aside all these little dead works and ordinance, and let's go on to perfection. You know, and in this message, we got all kind of little revelations. You see it? We are perfected through Christ. How do we get into it? By the Holy Spirit baptism. So without it, you don't even get started. So if you don't have it, you won't be able to love, because it's not you. This is not capable to love anything. I didn't even love myself at one time. How am I going to love anybody else? But he had to change your heart and take that stony heart out of you. Why? Because nothing goes in and nothing comes out. Try to speak to a rock, see if he's going to answer you. Try to take a rock as a pet, see if he it's going to love you. Yeah. No, it has to be changed. That's why he gave you a heart of flesh. So he can deal with you, and you can love him, and he can love you. And then he changed your spirit. Your spirit is not the Holy Spirit, but your spirit, who you are, he's not changing that also.
Yes.
And then he's give you his spirit. And that is what change you and make you grow.
Right.
From glory to glory to glory. Amen.
Amen.
But something has to give, something has to change. We have to change. See, perfect channel to God. It says, and God can only work to perfection. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1, God can only work through perfection. So if God's going to work in this church, you better be, and I better be, you know, perfected. It is a process, okay? It's not that I have attained it, but according to God, I am perfect. And that's my goal. My goal is not to be a baby in church. My goal is maturity. So as long as I got that goal in my mind, that's what I pursued. With all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul.
Amen.
Amen. So as long as that is your goal, it's just like saying, you know, the rapture, you know. And some people already passed away throughout the ages, but they went down with that expectation. That God will raise them from the dead, that they are perfect and they are going to come up.
Yeah.
Now what happens if you go to, man, you're not sure? So I'm sure that in God's eyes I'm perfect. All I have to do is just be always obedient to the word of God. As much as I know, I know I'm going to fail sometime. I'm going to make wrong choices. But you know what? That's not me. Well, that's not the one he's looking at. Because he's perfect. Blessed be him name, his name. It has to be perfect channel that God works through. Because he can do nothing else but work through perfection. Now, if that was the case, as we look at the scriptures, I mean, I'm not perfect, I'm just flesh. God will never work through me. See, that's the way we think. How can God use me? But see, God is not using you, you know, the way you are, the way we think, we flesh. But perfection, this is the real you. God is looking at the real you.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
Because the real you now, the flesh is dead. It's not gonna resurrect. This is gonna just pay the price. But the real me is perfected. That's how God can use me. If I let this body, if I just keep this body, you know, under my feet. It can keep it from rising up. And let him use me. The part that is his, that is in me, he can use.
Amen.
Amen. He cannot stain himself in any way. And then stain, I mean, God has no spots. Nothing is pure. So, he says, and then, that's why Jesus came to take away our sins, that we might be perfected. He says that God could work through what? His church. So if you're still, you know, having problems with that thought that I'm not perfect, I'm flesh, I made too many mistakes, you still live in condemnation, God cannot use you. Amen. And God wants to use you. So we need to look at ourselves as he looks at us. That's all. Okay? And let him have his way. And we'll take care of the rest of it. Amen. And then he says over here, then God only worked to perfection. Now, God worked through his church. There is where the secret lies. You want to be a church that God will use? Then all you have to do is that you are perfect in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And when you make a mistake, you ask God to forgive you. When you offend somebody, you make things right and get back into perfection. And God will use you. And that's where the secret lies. So you say, well, God will never use this church. We are not all perfect. How do you know that? It is not up to you. It's not up to the pastor. It's not up to the church. He called. He chose. So, all I'm saying is, we need to treat each other as who we are. We are perfect in Christ Jesus.
Right.
That's all. Ah, oh, but that brother, I cannot depend on that brother. That brother, you know, is kind of between two thoughts. Still is a child of God. Just be patient. You know, pray for your brother. Pray for each one of us, because we all want to arrive to perfection. If we don't arrive, we're not living here. See, the body is not completed. The body is made out of parts. I told you last week. And a part is not completed, the body is going nowhere. So we need to help each other to what? To reach the goal. And the goal is to get out of here. By what? By maturity. Now, Brother Brown says, I know, we notice that even nature itself is calling for that day. Nature is groaning. Everything seems to be out of cater, and we know that. You see the news. The sun doesn't shine like it used to. Science tells us that the world is bulged out of so many feet in the middle that's making the ocean more shallow and the center and deeper towards the North Pole and the South Pole. And we, you know, talking about blaming everything in, you know, today all the rain and the snow and at the wrong time and the wrong places, you know. All the storms and all these things going on, you know. And we blame something else, but it's the world. It's moving, it's shaking. You know, it's off-center. Actually, that's what the scientists are saying. The North Pole has moved about 3 degrees, you know, from tilted. Why? I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but it has moved. Science tells us that the world is like that. It says, and well, there's just nothing. The stars are not in their orbits, and they should be. And everything seems to be out of cater. Maybe you don't notice this, and you never watch the stars. And even if you do, you don't know if they're in place or not. But Brother Bernard said it was. The stars are not in their orbits, and they should be. And everything seems to be out of cater. It is all waiting, groaning for the day of what?
Perfection.
When our Lord Jesus shall come and perfect everything that is imperfect.
Amen.
And perfect everything that is imperfect. That's what the Bible said. You know, this nature is groaning, you know, for those, for you and me to get to that point. They also, you know, fell. When you fell, when we fell, when Adam fell, the whole nature fell. But they're waiting on you, because they cannot be completed until you get to that position. And that's the same thing with the one that are waiting right now. He says they cannot be made perfect, or they cannot be completed until you reach the same goal to be completed. Perfection. See? Now he says, and even to the church that is imperfect now will be perfected in the love and the power of Christ. Even till death itself won't have any power over the church any longer. My. Those that have died along the road down to the watches, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and the seventh watch, die waiting for this. See, at least they die without expectation, I told you. See? Their death cannot hinder them from enjoying it. See, you cannot stop them. You have to come to that. They expecting you to come to that point. See? So that they cannot hinder them from enjoying it, because the trump of God shall sound, and then the dead in Christ shall rise. Oh, what a glorious time we are living in. So they are not complete without us. And even if we die before, at least we know that we are perfect. And that is our expectation. Amen. But sometimes we put in ourselves too many burdens. Sometimes, well, we start thinking, but if I was perfect, I should be doing this. You know, don't do that. You are in more call to the fire to begin with. I mean, you have no trouble with the devil. Don't put no more stuff on yourself. That'll solve the devil, you know. Jehovah Jireh said, now, how that the perfection, the perfect sacrifice, perfect, and perfected in human life what he was going to do. We know. We have We had God the Father, which was the Almighty Jehovah. Then that was in a pillar of light. And then took Israel throughout the wilderness. And then the same Jehovah became flesh and dwelt among us. And in the form of his only begotten Son, created a tabernacle for his own self, the perfect manifestation. I want you to listen, because that is what you and I supposed to get to the perfect manifestation of God in flesh again. So, I mean, if I want that to happen, I just don't want to be a guy that comes to church all the time and preach. I want more than that. I want to be the perfect manifestation of God in flesh. That's my goal, and that's maturity. See, then, through the covenant, the human part of him was taken away, severed, that he might, this covenant, separate the body that died, the blood that was shed for the remission of our sin, and raise him up and set him up in his right hand, and set the Spirit back to the day of Pentecost. Christ says, I have a better way to help you guys. I have a better way to teach you and to train you. You know, I mean, I've been here with you now 3.5 years, and look at, you know, he called them, you know, leader faith, you know. And then you take Peter. Peter thought he was, you know, to a point that he would never deny the Lord, you know. But he did. So those guys still need a help. They're still, you know, having trouble, you know. You take throughout the Bible, you know. David had problems. You know, committing adultery, you know, killing, you know. You know, if they let that flesh rise up, that's what the flesh will do. See? So, he keeps saying over here, and that the same Jehovah flesh indwell among us, he said. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwell in him is the perfect manifestation. Then, through the covenant, the human part of him was taken away, see, that he might, his covenant, separate the body from that die. The blood was then shed for the remission of sin, and rise up it up and set it in his right hand, and send the Spirit back to the day of Pentecost. And that same life that was living Christ Jesus has to be lived in the covenant people, same life, doing the same thing. And that's what we want. I don't want to come to church for eternity. I want to be able to come to the point that my life will manifest his life. He that believes, says John, and Jesus said in John 14:12, he that believe on me, the work that I do, he shall also. Now, that's either right or wrong. It has got to be right. It got to be right. To me, every word of it is right. Every word is perfectly right. Notice how glorious God's works. So, we need to get to the point that the same way that Jesus manifested God in flesh, that we get to the same point. Now, he said, the work that I did, you will do also. Right. And that is what? Manifesting Christ again in flesh. Right. So, that's maturity. See? If nothing is happening in our life, then, you know, let's get moving. Because God wants to use you. Amen. This is not just a free ride to come to church and feel good and dump all our sins and come back next week. And where are we? Amen. The exposition of the seven church ages, Brother Van says, his purpose is that after we have suffered, well, that's a part that we don't like a lot, but this is how it's going to happen. Yeah, we need to get to that part, you know that. His purpose is that after we suffer a while, we will be what? Made? Perfect. You cannot avoid it. God knows and customizes things to you, you know, the things that you go through in life. Maybe I don't go through this that you're going through, but I go through all the things. God knows what I need so he can bring that life, bring that perfection. So when you get tested, something is going in your life, God is... You just said, hallelujah, praise the Lord. God knows that he's trying to do something with me. Something, God is working in me. And this thing is going to be better at the end than it was at the beginning. Anyway, his purpose that after half suffered, well, we would be made perfect. So, the process of the, in throughout this journey, you know, is to be obedient. Like Jesus was obedient, and he suffered. So you're not going to get less, you know. We are going to suffer. He suffered. And why? We will be made perfect. He be established, strengthened, and settled. That's it. I like that. We could preach probably in those three words. Establish, that means you don't have nothing. You don't like nothing. Strengthen, you know, and settle. You don't have to be tossed any longer into thoughts. Satan probably will just see you coming and he gets out of your way because, no, I tried you too many times. This guy just is settled. I am settled. I'm in church, but I am settled. You know? We do what we do. We serve the Lord. We read our Bible. We come to church because we are settled. Not because coming to church is what's, I mean, it's good to come to church, but it's because my mind is made up. Amen. Settle. And I don't care what the Satan will do, I will come to church. Today was not one of those good days. My brother-in-law called me and he needed some things. He cannot drive, he don't have a license. And he depends on the family to get him groceries, to take him to the appointment, to the VA, to anything. He cannot drive. And he cannot hardly walk, so he called today because he needed someone to help them. And not usually Wednesday, I got to preach, I got to finish my thing, I had to send, but you know, I didn't want to be like that priest that and the Samaritan. That's the first thing that comes to mind. I told my wife, let's get ready and let's go. The other sisters were busy and they're out of town. So let's do this. I didn't think no more about it. As soon as my thought came, you know, you want to be that priest? You know, making excuses. I don't have time for it. No. I said, let's go over there. We do what we have to do. We buy some food. We go to the store for him. We buy the medicine. We check, make sure he's okay. We eat with him. We stay with him. But by 3 o'clock, I'm on my way back. Because by 4, I got to get ready. And said, you know what? I wasn't going to miss church. But I also was going to do the right thing. Right? Because that's what happened to the priest, you know. Nobody helped that poor guy, the Samaritan, because he was too busy. I got to go to church. You know, I can't help. But that's not Christ-like. So, establish, strengthen, settle. See? So that settles it. You know, tonight's church, and that settles it. It doesn't matter what the devil trying to throw. You know? It's settled. If you had to go back to think about it, it's not settled. If you have to think, you know, it's today's church, oh, do we have to go to church? It's not settled. You're not settled in Christ Jesus. You know, you're not established, you know, that you are going to do whatever it takes. You know, this is his plan. This is not our plan. No, too much to that. So you see, he himself suffered. He learned obedience by the thing that he suffered. So God is teaching us obedience. Not because we are disobedient, we have to suffer. That's not the way it works. It's because through suffering, we learn what? Obedience. We don't never say, oh, the reason I'm going through this is because God is punishing me. No. That's not the God I serve. He knows that I need something. So he's going to bring it out through it, through the suffering. Amen. He said, he actually made perfect by the things that he suffered. Hebrews 5. Chapter 5, verse 8. And I through thought he were a son, yet learned his obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author and the eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. In plain language, the very character of Jesus was perfected by suffering. And likewise, you ain't going to get away with no less than that. So when you suffer, you say, Yahoo, thank you, Lord, for working on my character. Amen. I'm glad that he loved me that much that he will not let me and do whatever I want. I mean, how far do we let children do whatever they want? He chastised those that he loves. And if he do, then praise the Lord, you know. Amen. He says, and according to Paul, he left his church a measure of suffering that they too, by their faith in God, was suffering for him, will come to a place of perfection. Amen. Why did he want this? James chapter 1, 2, and 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience, but let the patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect in entirely wanting nothing. So patience means, okay, you don't know what this is going to you, what is this happening to you, but you know that God is going, the same God, you know, that allow already gave you the answer, and he's going to lead you through. God will not let Satan put anything on you that he already has a solution and a way out. He says, with every temptation, there's a way out. See? God will not tempt you further than you can withstand. God will not let Satan tempt you to the way that you will just surrender to Satan. He will not do that. See? But with the temptation also, you know, it comes away. God is faithful. God is good, and he will let Satan for a purpose, you know, so you and I can be perfected. Amen. It says that trying to you for work patient, and the patient work perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire wanting nothing. See, so Brother Brown told us a story about this driver, that he was going to go up a mountain. There was different drivers that take people up the mountain. And he wanted to go, but he wanted to make sure he chose the right person. And some of the drivers, you know, like to drive closer to the edge, and some closer to the mountain. So one time, Brother Brown went and asked, because he says, you know, I like to choose somebody that is closer to the edge. So all he was trying to say is, that's the reason that some people fall, because they are close to the edge. You know, we don't want to do anything or give Satan any reason.
Amen.
You know, sometimes, you know, out there, you know, whatever. I was young too, and I understand, you know, trying to get close to the world and dress or do without, you know, actually completely going that way. But we try sometimes, you know. And usually sisters are the more that, because, you know, a man, you know, nobody looks at a man, you know, the way he dress, you know. Anyway, nobody's looking t-shirt and you got jeans and you don't. But, you know, women use pants, and you see a woman that using a dress, then that's attract right away. You know, this is not a, but to us, you know. So sometimes we try to, you know, to dress either too tight or too short, you know, but not violating, you know. Brother Brown, I mean, I don't know if this message, I heard that this many years that, you know, it has to be below your knees. I don't know how long below your knees. I don't think you have to wear a dress that goes all the way to your ankles. But anyway, all he's saying is try not to get too close. The same thing with your boys in school. You know, and your friends and your peers, you know, stay away from the edge, you know, stay away from there, because it's easy to fall. Once you're there, it's just a little push and we fall. So that's what the story of the little boy, you know, I mean, sorry, the brother man talks about it. So, and I know, like, as we grow older in church, you know, everybody's growing and the church is growing. And it's a shame to people to still step babies, you know. And it's all right if you just born. But you got to grow. We got to grow. And if we don't, then we have problem. Everybody needs to grow as a Christian. And everyone can grow. See? If we follow, you know, the instructions, the teaching, the Bible. Now, let me read you Romans 12, 1 and 2. You have to dedicate yourself to the service of God completely. This is what Romans says. Therefore, I urge you, brother and sister, and I think I use the Amplified Bible for this one, because I keep switching and I forgot to put the King James. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. See, not just part of your body. The whole thing or nothing. God needs the whole thing or nothing. See, dedicate your whole body, yourself, as a living what? Sacrifice. Not halfway, you know. Not only the hands for work, but everything. From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. As a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, you know, that's the mind of God. Because if you have the mind of God, you won't reason anything. You won't use the intellectual to figure things out. See? Acts of worship, the Bible says here. And second said, and do not be conformed to this world. See, the world is just superficial values, you know. And the world, if we love the world more than when we love God, then, like the Bible said, you know, you will love one and you will hate the other one. So you don't want to see how close you can get to the world. See, but be transformed. That means that you progressively are changing. It's a transformation. When you come to church, we are being transformed from glory to glory. It's a transformation, he says. As your nature, as you mature spiritually, by the renewing of your mind, see, by acquiring the mind of Christ, because we, the mind of Christ is in us. And that's what we are growing to him. He's the head. And the way he thinks, I want to think. I want his mind. I don't want my mind. And if you want, I'll give you mine, but I don't think you want yours and you don't want mine either. We want his mind. And then we can focus on godly values and good things. So that you may prove yourself, not to me, not to the pastor, not to you, to you. So you can prove to yourself what the will of God is. You need to know the will of God in your life. Every one of us need to know the will of God in our life. He said, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. If we are going to make the right choices, if we are going to do the right things, we need to know what the right thing is. Amen. See? Amen. And the only one that is right is God. Yes. It's good, acceptable, and perfect in his plan and purpose for you and me. Amen? So, it's a process. And we all going to go through this thing. It's not just the pastor. We need to all to grow to perfection. If we want to get out of here, we need to be completed. Yeah. I want out.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know either way through the door of death or through the rapture. I want out. Yes. Why? Because this world is going crazy. I mean, Brother Van said they will be walking dead. I mean, I was listening to the news, a lady with cancer, a young lady, and she died. I mean, young people with sickness that belongs to all people, right. They got sugar problems. They got, kids are playing football and having heart attacks, you know. Right. So the world is not getting any better. But I'm getting better. Amen. So, this is all I have for you. It's kind of early. You say, well, yeah, we're going to go home. Can we stand? Yeah, you know, I had a hard week. But it's not how much. It's if it is good enough for you to understand what the message was to begin with last week. We need to grow.
Amen.
We need to grow. And maturity brings also certain responsibilities, you know, from all in church. As we grow, we are more responsible, more flexible, more patient. We can love, we can have faith and grace.
Amen.
Amen. To be like him. If you want to compare yourself with somebody, compare yourself with Christ. Don't compare yourself with each other, but compare yourself with Christ and see where you are. Amen. Now they had that little saying, what will Jesus would do? Well, I know what he would do. Is it me? He can't tell me what he will do. I don't have to guess or trying to figure out what he will do. He can tell me. He can show me. He can lead me. He can guide me. I can learn because now it's not out there. He's in here. See, the Bible that was out there, the Word made flesh, now that is in here. That's why he told the disciple, don't cry, don't get upset. I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you, you know. I will send the counselor. I will send somebody. Now, I'm going to do it a different way. This is the perfect way to do this. Instead of me screaming at you and calling you all kind of things, I'm going to come in you. And you and I, we are going to walk together. And we're going to talk together. And I'm not going to teach you. And I'm going to show you things to come. And I'm going to take you all the way through. See, as soon as I'm here, you guys are depending on me. Brother Branham has to be taken away for the same reason. Everybody, well, let's ask the prophet. If he was living here and you have a problem, you would not ask your pastor. Let's go to Jefferson. Let's go and ask the prophet. Well, God has to decrease, has to take him away so you and I can grow. Amen. So let's grow to perfection. Amen. We are already perfect. We just need to grow to it. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you once again for this moment that we have, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you, Father, for life, Father, and what you mean to us. Thank you for providing. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for healing our bodies to keep us, Father. Father, thank you for providing everything that we have need, Father, so we can get closer and closer to you, Father. Father, we just want to give you, Father, the liberty to come into this heart, Father, and just take over, Father, and do and finish the work that you started in us. As the word said, you will finish it. Father, we want to surrender to you, Father. Sometimes, as we're getting near the end, it is the hardest part. Sometimes, when we start the race and we're just babies, and as we mature, it's just like a race. Like Paul says, you know, we get to almost to the end. Maybe a mile left and 4 miles in the marathon. It's just the worst ones is the end. And we are at the end right now, Father. And we're going to have to decide. We need to settle ourselves. What are we going to do? Who are we going to follow? How are we going to follow? According to your will. This is not a time to be unsettled. This is not a time to be relaxed. This is a time so we can get to the end of this race, Father. This is a time that you know where all our hearts are. You know our hearts, Father. So whatever level we are in this walk, Father, help us to continue. And the only thing we want is to honor God and to please you, Father, in everything that we do. If nothing else, I want to do everything that is to honor your name, Father. We love you, Father, and again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this church. We thank you for our brothers and sisters. We thank you because you make a way for us to come together, Father. And thank you for our pastor and the ministers. And thank you for deacons and trustees and those that clean and those that cook. And Father, thank you, Father, because in this body, we're going to need each other, Father. In order to be complete, we are going to need every part that you have put in this church. I don't care how small, I don't care how big, Father, but we are going to need each other, Father. So we all together can encourage ourselves to get to the end of this race, Father. We're going to need help, Father. I know because in a race, in a marathon, you got 5 people. And it's not just one guy, it's 4 people running the race. And they start with the first one and the rest of them run behind it, less resistant. You know, the guy in the front is doing all the fight and the guy in the back just coming along and then they switch to the next one until they get to the 20-mile post and the guy that is going to win, he cut loose. But it took a whole team to bring that guy to that position and keep him from the wind resistant and all the things that there were until it was his time, Father, to shine. And Father, we are at that point now. We are defined that this is the end of the race, Father. We see the signs, it's coming. And it's time for us to just cut loose and let go and let God have his way and let's finish this race. Father, we love you and we thank you. And thank you, Father, for all you do. You continue doing in our life. And we appreciate you. We love you, Father. Forgive us, Father, for sometimes when we have made wrong choices and errors and wrong decisions. But Father, you know that is not my intention. That is not my intention. That is not my desire. My desire is to grow. My desire is to be what you want me to be. What you make me to be. That is my desire, Father. And sometimes I see in church that some people's desires are a little low, Father, but that desire don't come from me. That comes from you also, Father. And if we have your spirit and you living in us, we should have the same desire. Father, this is not different from me than somebody else. It's not two different Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that work in me, it work in all of us. And the same desire that you give me to move forward and push and do, is the same Holy Spirit that is working in all my brothers and sisters, Father. So I just pray for you for us, Father, to just lay down our life and let you, Father, come in, Father, and take over, Father. And we want to surrender our life to you so that work will be finished in our life and we'll soon be with you forever, Father. We love you and we thank you and we ask you all these things in Jesus' name.